Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 18. And God said, and the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him. And in Proverbs chapter 12, if you'll turn over there, Proverbs chapter number 12, and if you'll locate Proverbs chapter number 12, verse number 4, Proverbs 12 and verse number 4. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. And then Proverbs chapter 31, we'll just read a couple verses in Proverbs chapter 31, verse number 10. Proverbs 31 and verse number 10. Who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Heavenly Father, please help me as I present these Bible principles and precepts this evening. Lord, we pray again for our marriages, the time we invested last Sunday night and now again tonight. Lord, I pray that you wouldn't let the devil take any part of it and turn it for evil, but Lord, that the Church of Jesus Christ would take these things and embrace them. Our couples, Lord, would be challenged and take great consideration and think about these things. And Lord, we pray for the preservation of the marriages here in our church. We pray, Lord, that you would let the devil destroy a family, a home, a marriage, Lord. And Lord, keep us close to the Bible. Help us to realize it works. Help us to trust it. Help us to just obey it and do it. And Lord, help us not to be swayed by so much of the humanistic anti-God, anti-Bible philosophy that's being taught to both our men and our ladies in this culture, Lord. And may this be a primer, a help, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I've got the, if we could have the married ladies stand at this time. We gave out last Sunday a card to all of our married men, this blue card. If you didn't get one, if you'll see my wife after the service, you might check with our ushers. Go ahead and pass them out. Gentlemen, just get one to every single lady standing. The blue card, a man's responsibilities towards his wife, lists 12 biblical responsibilities. The yellow card, a wife's responsibilities to her husband. On the back of both cards, laminated cards, you can be seated once you receive it. That'll help our ushers to know where they need to get these directed to. The back of the cards has a copy of the wedding vows. I would, and I'm suggesting that you would put these in the Bible at home that you use as your devotional Bible and use it as a bookmarker, perhaps for 2013, and from time to time, pause, read one or two of these, ask the Lord, pray, ask the Lord to help you in those areas. This will be a great checkup sheet for you and just something that you can go through from time to time and say, Lord, I want to make sure that I'm doing what you've asked me to do, that I'm fulfilling my responsibilities in my marriage. And so this is just a great reminder sheet. There's a fear of learning truth and then setting it aside. There's a fear of learning it and listening to it. The Bible calls it being hearers and not doers also. And we hear something and we acknowledge it. We see it in the Bible. We understand that it's truth. And then we walk away from it. And it's easy to just go back into our normal pattern of life and fail to implement those things. I want to encourage our ladies and our men. Again, if you haven't got a copy and you want a copy and you can't afford a copy, we'll give you a copy. I am praying that our church, listen, I write so we can influence beyond our Jerusalem, but primarily I write to help our church. I want our men to have the book on masculinity. I want our young men to take it seriously. I mean that. It's not because it's written by me, it's because it's packed with Bible principles. If I could get everybody that got, here's what happens. People go buy, come on, I've done it too, you buy a book. And now it's under about that much stuff a week later somewhere on a shelf or on a dresser or whatever. If I could get you to do something, 21 Tenets of Biblical Masculinity, 21 Tenets of Biblical Femininity that me and Cheryl co-wrote together. If I could get you to take that book, I wish I could get every young man just to do this. I don't know. I can't make you. I'm just suggesting. I'm just imploring that you do it. I would like you to take the next 21 weeks. That's the best way to use this book. I would like you to lay that book beside your devotional Bible for the next 21 weeks. I would like you to read chapter 1 7 days in a row. Chapter 1 7 days in a row. And spend that entire week meditating, thinking about that precept, working on that in your life, and then go to chapter 2 and do it 7 days in a row. You know why? Because I know how we are. I know how we're wired. You can read through the book quickly. You can say, yeah, and then you'll set it aside. And again, we go right back into our normal lives, and we've made no concrete changes in our life, no real biblical improvements in our life. And then the third week, seven, and folks, the chapters are short. Both books are 80 pages long. If you've got 21 tenets in 80 pages, you're not talking about much material to read. 7 days. And in 7 days, work on that, meditate about it, think about it, check your life out, work on it, improve in that area, and then go to the next chapter. I would think we would want to be committed enough to change and to grow and to be everything we could possibly be for the Lord that we'd take it that seriously. Maybe I'm just living in la-la land, but I would like to think I pastored that kind of people. I would like to think that, you would want to improve and want to grow and want to be helped. Listen, don't let your insecurity keep you from improving in areas. Nobody's perfect. Everyone has shortcomings. Every one of us can be better in these areas. And so a suggestion there. And with these things also in your Bible to help you, I'm asking God to allow our marriages to be strengthened. I'm tired of watching disasters. I'm sick of it. Not a one of them has to happen. The Bible says because of the hardness, Jesus said, because of the hardness of your heart. And so many times a wife is so influenced by, please, please turn the daytime TV off. Please, I'm imploring you, turn off the stupid shows like The View and whatever else is on there and all these pagan, godless women that sit around and spew out nonsense and unbiblical advice. I wish I could get Christians to click it off. Turn it off, turn it off, turn it off. And stop being influenced by ungodly, humanistic viewpoints. Get into the Word of God and study it. And men, hope that you've used these things. I hope you've put it in there. And you'll be wise if you do. Ladies, you'll be wise if you do. Now, one of the things I said last week, I'm going to remind you of, and then we're going to jump in on this, and we're going to go through it. But this is for the men. And this is for the ladies. Gentlemen, it doesn't matter what's on this sheet. This isn't a scorecard or a check sheet or a report card or something that you can pull out from time to time out of her Bible and say, well, what about number 6? All right. If you do that, you're the reason that you're having. Listen to me. If you do that and that's your mentality, you are the reason you have a poor marriage. Because you're not worried about fulfilling your responsibilities. You're worrying about keeping score on the other person all the time. Now, if you'll just take that precept and put it across your whole life, you'd be surprised how helped you'll be. It doesn't matter what God told my wife to do. You know what? I don't have any control of that. But I have control as far as what he told me to do. And I just kind of believe that a husband that strives to do what God's called him to do is going to encourage a wife to want to do what she's called to do. And I also believe a wife that determines to be what she obey what she's been told to do will encourage a husband to want to do the same. And if there's going to be competition in a relationship, it ought to be a competition of who can be the most obedient, the most biblical, the greatest blessing, and make the other person the happiest. And if you'll focus on your responsibilities and let her focus on hers, gentlemen, ladies, let him focus on his, and the Lord will bless you. 12 responsibilities. I mentioned last week. I'm glad God didn't come up with 55 or 75. It's not rocket science. I sometimes just shake my head. I've said this to my wife probably scores of times. Honey, I don't get it. It's not that hard. People say, well, to have a good marriage, you have to work at it. And I'm thinking, well, you have to be diligent. You have to be obedient. But at some point, folks, it shouldn't be get up and labor from the time you get up to the time you go to bed just to try to, that's craziness. I mean, it really is. That's craziness. A good marriage occurs when both the husband and wife dedicate themselves to obeying the Lord concerning their biblical responsibilities to each other. And really, that produces a good marriage. It reproduces a great marriage. And so we'll go through these responsibilities of the wife to her husband. Last Sunday, if you were not here last Sunday night, we went through the 12 responsibilities of a husband towards his wife. This week, a wife's responsibilities to her husbands. Ladies, you can follow along. I have the verses written down there, so it's going to save you from having to turn, and you'll have the verses in front of you. Some I'll read, some I won't, but I would encourage you. There's one point, well, we'll get to that. Number one, let me pray again. God, give me clarity of thinking and help me, Lord, please. Help our ladies, dear God. Help our young ladies to listen as they're preparing one of these days, Lord, to be a wife. I pray that these principles will get into their hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. We pray, amen. Thank you. No, no, it's not Dr. Pepper. There's no fizz, and it's the wrong color. Is it 7-Up, maybe? Water? I was trying to get, is Shaylee in here? Am I going to embarrass her? I was trying to get Shaylee to drink tap water at our house, and she was trying to convince me the other day that she was allergic to water. And she wanted something else, and so she was allergic to water. And I told her this, because grandpas are smart. I said, well, you might be allergic to most tap water, but our tap water tastes like chocolate cake. And so I gave her a glass, and she took a sip, and she looked at me and said, this don't take like hot chocolate cake. And so she's conning me, and I'm conning her. I don't know where she gets it, but anyway. But anyway, this don't taste like chocolate cake, Brother Eric, but thank you anyway. Number one, a wife is to provide companionship and help. In Genesis chapter 2, verse number 18, a wife is to provide companionship and help to her husband. The Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. And so he needs companionship. He wants companionship. He longs for companionship. I will make him an help meet for him, a helper designed for him. And so God states the purpose of the creating of woman here in this one sentence. The primary responsibilities, the primary thought process of God was this. I've created a man and I put him in a garden and I've given him responsibilities and rules, but it's not good that he's alone. He needs someone to be his companion. He needs someone to help him to accomplish the things that I've assigned him to do. So a wife is to provide both companionship and help to her husband. And that's a wonderful thing, wonderful opportunity to be a companion as a wife to your husband. Now listen, cheer for him, root for him, okay? Encourage him, be a blessing to him, build him up, okay? I believe that he saw Adam do his job in the garden, and he thought, you know what, how much better would he do that job if he had somebody there when he got done at the end of the day to say, wow, that's fantastic, you did all of this, show me. Now, ladies, if you don't understand the way men are wired, they need that. They want that. You'd be surprised what a man will do and how diligent, how successful he'll do if he has a virtuous wife rooting for him, supporting him. We'll talk about reverence in just a minute, but just the opposite destroys a marriage. Don't criticize him. Don't run him down. Don't speak evil to him or of him. Don't complain about him. Cheerlead him. When's the last time you said something super sweet and super positive to your husband? When's the last time you said something super sweet or super positive to your husband? It shouldn't be days. It shouldn't be weeks. It should occur all the time. Okay? You've been created to provide that companionship, to be that help. Now, ladies, here's your to-do list, and I know that you're busy, and if you have children, I get it, and you've got things that you've got to accomplish. Let me give you a great piece of advice. The greatest things you can ask your husband every single morning is this. Is there anything I can do today to be a help to you? Is there anything I can do today to be a help to you? You know why? You were created to be his helper. I don't care what else is on the list. Whatever he needs you to do that would be a help to him, that goes to the top of the list. Amen. Amen. Because your primary responsibility is to be a help to him, to help him succeed. So a great question to ask the night before or the morning before he leaves is there anything I can do today to be a help to you, that would be a help to you? Is there anything I can do that would save you some time? Well, wait a minute. Why doesn't he ask me that question? Because he wasn't created to be your helpmeet. You were created to be his helpmeet. And so what a great question for a wife to ask. That becomes your primary responsibilities for the day, to help your husband. Be there to provide both companionship and help. Number two, a wife is to be virtuous, providing for her husband protection and honor. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 4, we read that a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. Now, I won't teach all of the tenets of virtue. We've got them in the book. You have Proverbs 31. They're there. But when a wife chooses to be virtuous, what she does is she provides a crown to her husband. This crown gives him honor. This crown provides him protection. She's a helper to him. She watches for him. She watches over him. If she exercises the traits of virtue, it's found in Proverbs chapter 31, then she becomes a great encouragement and help to her husband. So be virtuous. Again, I don't have the time to teach through Proverbs 31. It's in the book on femininity, but it's such an important chapter. And it ought to be the focal point of your life, because virtue does not just make you rare in the sight of God and valuable in the sight of God. Being virtuous makes you a crown to your husband. And so work on this matter of virtue and be virtuous. Number three, a wife is to provide her husband with the security that she will always be true to him. Who can find a virtuous woman for a price is far above rubies? The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. And so he never has one moment's fleeting thought or fear that his wife is going to be not be faithful to him. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her. I mentioned last week to the men, one of the first ones I think I gave is that a husband is to give his wife security by often reminding her that he is married to her for life. Well, just as a man needs to do that for his wife, a wife needs to do that for her husband. Nothing that you should say should cause him a moment's pause. He ought not to ever hear you talk about any man in lofty terms. Would make him stop and suspect and think, why is that guy's name keep coming up? You should never compare your husband to another man. Well, why can't you be like? Well, if you were like, don't do that. Foolish, 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 foolish. Don't do that. And to provide your husband with security and the assurance that you'll be true to her. Number four, a wife is to actively seek to find ways to please her husband. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. So you need to actively think about ways to please your husband. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 34, if those of you that don't have the cards would like to turn there, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 34, this portion of Scripture talks about the difference between a single woman and a wife. In 1 Corinthians 7, 34, there is difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman care for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. So, ladies, what I would do is I would find out. Remember I talked about last week about men, you ought to learn your wives. Wives, you ought to learn your husbands. You ought to find the things that please him. You ought to find the things that make him happy. You ought to find the things that he enjoys. You ought to find the things. I think that ought to be priority one, and you ought to work very hard on making him happy and doing him good. She will do him good. Do him. That's action. Find ways to help. Find ways to be a blessing. Find ways to encourage. Find out what he likes, and be sure and make that the focal point of your life. Wife is to actively seek to find ways to please her husband. Number five, a woman is to give unto her husband due benevolence, to not defraud him. A husband and a wife need to maintain a healthy and active intimate relationship, one that is enjoyable and satisfying to both. This protects both from fornication. We gave that as one of the responsibilities both to the man and also to the wife. on both lists. We taught about it as deeply as or specifically as I feel like I could with the audience we have today. Young ladies, of course, I'm not going to read the second verse there, but you need to read it. You ought to ask yourself a question concerning the last phrase in that verse, Proverbs verse. You ought to ask yourself that question. I can tell you this, most of the times when there's a marriage problem, I'm just going to say this, and then I've got to leave the subject alone. One of these days, I'd like to corral all our young married ladies together and put you in a room and have my wife come in here and go in there and look you in the eyeball and talk to you plain Jane on this subject. But some of you that are just cold fish are going to destroy your marriage. You're foolish. Okay? I don't know where you got the negative mentality about this thing. Okay? But you don't get it from the Word of God. There's a word in that verse that begins with R towards the end you ought to think about. You ought to ask yourself the question about that verse and your husband, that word and your husband. Okay, you'd be surprised how many times I meet and the complaint in a marriage situation by the man is, I might as well be single. To me, that's wicked. That's wrong. And you know what? You're hurting your marriage. You're hurting your marriage. Number six, a wife is to submit to her husband's decision. She should feel free to express her views, but submit if he makes a decision different than what she wishes. One of the things I encouraged in our list on husbands is to consider her point of view, your wife's point of view. Make decisions based on what's best for God first, wife and children second, then himself third. And men, I encouraged you when I taught that last week to allow your wife to feel, make your wife comfortable and feeling free to express her views. Men, listen to me. Don't get your hackles up when she has an opinion that's different than yours. Ask her. Ask because you want to hear. And then consider what she says. But ladies, let me say this. The decisions in your household, the final decisions, rest in the hands of your husband. And you need to support that. We've had tough situations that I've had to deal with in the last 12 months here in the church. There's been times when a husband's making poor decisions, and I will tell you, I'm not a preacher that's going to stand there and tell a wife to rebel against her husband. He will stand and answer. That's in his circle of influence. But let me just say this. Husbands, make wise decisions so that your wife can learn to trust you. And wives, listen to me, whether you think it's the best decision or not, support it, submit to it, and support it, and work to make it successful. I think I mentioned this last week. If you have a discussion about something, your husband's getting ready to make a decision, I think you ought to talk it. Listen, I've never made any type of important major decision in my life without discussing it with my wife. Okay? I'm not asking her to make the decision. I'm wanting her input. I listen very carefully to what she has to say. Sometimes we're in agreement. Matter of fact, most of the time we're in agreement. We're in agreement on a decision before it's made. We're like-hearted. We're like-minded. And we have unity. We both have a very biblical philosophy of life. So most of the time we're in agreement. There's been a few times where I've had to say I've listened and I've heard and thank you and I've considered. But I really feel like this is a decision we have to make, that we need to make and that I need to make. And so we're going to do this. Thank God for a wife at that moment that says, well, thank you for listening to me. Thank you for considering what I've said. And you know what? If that's the decision you've made, I'll work with you to make it work, to make it happen. This is what we'll do. And I never hear another negative thing about it. Even if it doesn't work out, I don't hear another negative thing about it. Are you listening to me? Okay? Your husband needs your support. Okay, he needs your submissiveness. Anything with two heads is a monster. Anything with two heads is a monster. God didn't create a family with two heads. He created it with one head. And the head is the father and the husband. And so when he makes a decision, kids rally around it. Wife rally around it. This is what's been decided. This is what we're going to do. Don't say, well, he didn't decide what I'm going to do, so I'm going to see if I can sabotage it or I'm going to stand back and not help it succeed. And if it does fail, he's never going to hear the end of it. You know, again, that's foolishness. And you're not hurting anyone. Listen, you're hurting your marriage. And so listen to your husband and support your husband's decisions. Number seven, a wife should reverence her husband. That means to show respect. Nevertheless, let every one of you particular so love his wife even as himself, and see that the wife that she reverence her husband. Now, ladies, listen to me. If your husband does not feel like you respect him, or if you treat him or talk to him disrespectfully, you know what? There's a lot of things a man can take. That's not one of them. Now, he may seem to take it, but he's not taking it. Okay, you're hurting the thing. Listen, talk respectfully about your husband and to your husband. Reverence your husband. Be respectful. Don't talk him down. Don't talk down to him. Okay? Show respect to your husband. Show reverence to your husband. And our responsibility as husbands in this verse is to love our wives. The wife's responsibility is to respect and reverence her husband. A man needs that. You can call it ego, you can call it anything you want to call it, but God made us a certain way. And you know what? Very few men can long tolerate being disrespected by a female. We're just not going to tolerate it long. I'm just telling you. We're going to turn some things off. I don't know why he never wants to come home from work because of what he has to hear when he walks in the door. I wonder why he's always wanting to be gone, because he's not going to listen to that long. Okay, he's not. And you know what? If he does, he's cashing in his manhood to do it. Okay, that's not your boy for you to chew out. That's not your son. You don't talk down to him, or you don't rebuke him. You don't correct him. Okay, there's a difference between rebuking and entreating. If you want to entreat him, then you entreat him. But don't rebuke him. Okay, you young ladies, are you getting this? Okay, you marry some guy and spend the rest of your life barking at him? I'm gonna pray God causes your tongue to fall out. And a lot of things I pray, I get, so you better be fearful. If I get serious about it and focused on it, you may just be tongueless, so I'm just telling you. Okay? All right, number eight. A wife should avoid sinful habits that would prevent her husband from being used in whatever capacity God might choose for him. Now, I would like you to take the time to turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 3. And so let me get everybody to move over there, because there's more to consider in this portion than just the one verse that I've placed in front of you here. But the chapter, of course, presents qualifications, first of all, for a bishop or a pastor, and then on down into the verse, qualifications for a deacon, starting in verse number 8. Very interesting that there are positions that not only require a man to meet qualifications, but that his wife would also meet certain qualifications. Bible says here in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8, likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in pure conscience, and let these also first be proved, and let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. And then it goes on to give more instructions to the deacons concerning his wife, and the conducting, the ruling of his children, and the oversight of his house. Notice verse number 11, very important, ladies. Even so must their husbands be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. I'm going to be transparent with you for a minute. I was here a long time under my dad. I worked under my dad. I have listened to my dad in a private meeting, and I would never say who it was about, and you shouldn't speculate who it's about. You ought to check to see if it might be about you. Where my father said, I would love to use that man in that position. He's gifted, he has the qualifications, and he would do a great job, but I can't because of his wife. Now, if I'm a wife here, that would cause me to be distraught. I, as a wife, I wouldn't want to stand before God and say, you know what, my husband could have been given these responsibilities and have these opportunities to serve the Lord, but he was turned down because of sins in my life, because of unholy, ungodly attitudes in my life, because of my lack of virtue and separation and femininity. I held him back. You see, you were created to do just the opposite. You were created to help him. The Bible says in Proverbs about her husband to set in the gate. And you know what? He was able to accomplish some things because he had a virtuous wife that could be trusted and be helped. Now let that sink in for a second, ladies. I mean this. Some of you young ladies, listen to me. Well, I don't think there's anything wrong with this, and I don't know why we have to do this, and I don't have to do this. Then don't do it. But the honest truth is, most of you are married to a guy who stands where I stand and believes what I believe and would like you to change if you would. And I could use if you would. But I'm not going to if you don't. Because you know what? It don't work. Because you will be a team, ultimately. You will be a helper to him in that capacity. I've heard my dad say this. You know what? I could put that man in that situation and he would run that ministry well, but his wife would cause me so many problems it's not worth it. I've heard my dad say that statement. I've never walked out of the office and shared that. I've never said to anybody who that would be. Nobody's ever heard from my lips. What was said between me and my dad in my office was confidential. But I would hate to think that might have been my husband that pastor was speaking of. Now the question is this. Are you, because of sins in your life, or your unwillingness to live a holy separated life, holding back spiritual opportunities for your husband? Are you doing that? Because I would want to do just the opposite. I would want to say, you know what? I want not only God, but I want people in authority to look at my husband and know that they can trust him to do the things he's qualified to do, and that I will be a helper and a cheerleader and not a hindrance to see that he gets to do those things. I'll be part of the positive of that equation, not a reason that he would be turned down. So a wife should avoid sinful habits that would prevent her husband from being used in whatever capacity God might choose for him. Number 9, a wife should seek spiritual and practical advice from her husband. The verse is found in 1 Corinthians 14. It's very interesting. Verse 34, instructions to the ladies in the church of Corinth, the church overcome, affected by carnality. Let the women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. But they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. Now, folks, chapter 14 deals with the subject of the unknown tongue. Sometimes people take that verse out of context. Let your women keep silence in the church. What they were talking about is Paul was trying to stop the practice of the unknown tongue. And one of the things that he put down in that was this: don't let the ladies do it. Now, if you've ever been involved with a charismatic church, and if you've ever been in a charismatic church service where a lot of people are speaking in tongues, I promise you 90% of it's being done by the ladies. And so Paul knew if he passed that law, that rule, that they couldn't do it, it would die out. I'm just stating a fact here. I'm not trying to prove a point. I'm just telling you a fact here. And so I want you to understand, we don't take that out of context. No, you don't pull into the parking lot, ladies, and then stop talking and don't talk until you're allowed to leave the premises. And, you know, people that take this to an extreme, you know, and take it out of context is wrong. But I will say this, folks, and we could study this whole thing as far as, you say, preacher, this seems like it's kind of a men-led church. Yes, it is. We don't apologize for that. Men were called and anointed by God and into leadership. The ladies that work in capacities around here work under supervision of their husbands most of the time, and the supervision of a pastor. They do. That's the way we run things here. I didn't have 11 ladies come up and give testimonies last Wednesday night. I want to hear from the men. I want the men to step up. I want the men to stand up. I want the men to speak up. One of the things my dad said and by the way, if this kind of grates you, good, because see, you need to be graded in this area a little bit. But one of the things, policies my dad had when it come to a business meeting, he told me, he said, I won't entertain questions or comments from ladies. If they need something asked or they want to say something, they can talk to their husband at home. And if he feels like it's important enough to be said, then I'll hear from the husband. But some of you, where are we in the 1800s? No, we're in a Bible-run, Bible-based church. That's where we're at. And again, some of you have in your history business meetings that were ungodly and crazy and got out of hand. Who's doing the talking? Who's doing the talking? All right, I'm just telling you the facts, okay? Well, now, the thing I want to teach from this is this. If they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. Now, what that's saying is this. Let's say that I'm preaching on something, and you've got a question about something that I preached on. Now, you've got two options here. After the service, you could come and ask me about it, but I'm going to suggest you do this. Go home and ask your husband. Now, what does that do? That points you towards him for spiritual clarification. Okay, now I'm not crazy about this. If a lady goes out the door and asks me a quick question about something, you know, but if she starts doing it consistently, at some point I'm going to say, listen, why don't you ask your husband these questions? And if he doesn't know the answer, he can come talk to me. Why? Because watch this. Boy, independent fundamental Baptists need to hear this. I am not trying to become the lady's primary spiritual leader. I have no interest in that. I want to lead men who will lead their families. That's how I run things. That's my mentality. And so, ladies, if you have a question, go to your husband. Well, I'm not sure he'd know the answer and all this. Well, ask him anyway. Just obey the Bible. If he doesn't know, what he'll probably say is, you know, that's a great question. I guess I'm not sure. Let me pray about it. And then he'll pray about it, or he'll call some other men, or he'll stop me sometimes. A preacher, my wife was asking about something. Could you help me so I can give her a good scriptural answer? And I can help him with that, and then he can go back and minister to his family. That keeps things right. Okay? I worry about pastors who seem to have the ladies in their church constantly coming to them all the time. Now, again, I'm not trying to be crazy about this, but this is good. This is safe. This is the way God set it up. And so if a lady has a question about something in the ministry or just a clarification, but if they're coming to me for biblical advice or counsel or biblical clarification and they do it too often, I'll say to them, you need to start asking your husband these questions. Well, I don't think he'd know. Well, you know what? That would prompt him to get in the Word of God. It'll build him up as the spiritual leader. Just do what the Bible says and do that. Okay? And so what I'm doing is I'm trying to point you, listen, go to your husband and ask him the questions, okay? And let him become the spiritual leader. That will build him as the spiritual leader, okay? Number 10, a wife should love her husband. Titus chapter 2 gives the responsibilities of the elder ladies and what they are to teach to the younger. The elder ladies, one of the things that they're supposed to teach them, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. There's going to be times, ladies, wives, where you struggle in this area. There's going to be days where you're not sure that you love him. There's going to be days that you probably want to kill him. There's been probably days when he deserves to be killed. And I'm going to give you, again, the greatest piece of advice I can give you. If you have a spiritual question, don't come to your pastor. Go to your husband. If you have a question, a difficulty with your marital relationship, the greatest piece of advice I can give you is go to a older spiritual woman who has a good, strong marriage and, here you go, knows how to keep her mouth shut. Now, I'm going to give you, young ladies, some good advice here. You're going to get burned around here and take this advice and go to this wrong lady who's going to, as soon as you leave or in the conversation, call 7 friends and talk about your marriage. Okay? That's why you ought to be careful who you go to. By the way, if I'm describing you, I'd be ashamed of myself. I mean, I'd be ashamed of myself that you just made yourself unqualified to be able to help some young mother or wife around here because you can't keep your mouth shut. You're more interested in carrying the gossip about the problems in the marriage than you are genuinely help somebody have a good marriage. I mean it. Shame on you. Shame on you. You can't be trusted. And you say, preacher, I'm not sure who that'd be. Come tell me. Come ask me and I'll give you a list. Well, I'm just curious who would be on that list, so I might make up and come ask you, all right? I know who you are too, and I'll tell you, just go see my wife. So you just don't pastor a church, you pastor women, amen? And so you learn things. You learn what to say, not what to say. But listen, I mean this. What, have you ever, this is what I've heard in my, I've sat and listened to this. Well, I just don't love him anymore. Well, when you start struggling in that area, what you needed to do was go find a spiritual woman and say, I'm struggling to love my husband as I ought to love him. Help me. Okay, now watch this. If all the reason you're going is to dump everything negative about him you can throw, then you're not wanting help. You're wanting him to change. I need help in loving my husband. Help me to be able to love my husband. Help me to know how. Help me to know how to deal with something. I'm not saying you might not have to share some things, but be very careful what you share. Be very careful what you share. And so I'm having trouble with the kids. Go talk to a godly older lady that's raised good kids and sit down and get some advice. Okay? Okay? That's Titus chapter 2. That's the way God set it up. Okay? So, a wife should love her husband. Number 11, a wife should be obedient to her husband. Let me just tell you about a policy here. If there's a lady that needs help with her marriage and needs marital counseling, and she comes, and a lot of times what they'll do is they'll approach me. And sometimes, what I always do is this. Number one, I won't meet with her if the husband doesn't give me permission to meet with her. I won't meet secretly with you about the problems in your marriage. Okay, the husband's going to be in the loop. And if he's not comfortable with me meeting with you, number two, I'd never meet with you by myself. It'd always be me and my wife. And number three, after two meetings, I hand you off to my wife and I don't meet with you again. Most of the time, I don't even have to meet with you. Usually, I can just have Cheryl take care of it. But if I feel like I need to, that's how I do it. Well, I don't know if I like that. Well, I like it. Because I like being biblical. Ladies, are you so proud you can't learn from some older godly ladies? Maybe it's that know-it-all attitude that's keeping you from having a good marriage. I'm just being shotgun straight with you. Okay, there's some pretty godly gray-haired ladies around here. I think Mrs. Ali shouldn't be as alone in her house as she is. Are you listening to me? I kind of watched her and Forrest, and they were kind of like this constant newlywed game going on thing, you know. They seem to have, to me, a pretty sweet marriage. Come on now. I'm not blowing smoke. I wouldn't, you know, I don't lie. I don't pick people it's not true for. I don't have any ulterior motive. I don't think she's a millionaire widow, so I think I'm good here. So I'm just saying, it's crazy. That some of you gals will get on the phone and run down your husband and talk to a bunch of other women that have about as poor a marriage as you do and gripe to each other, but you can't drive over, call Mrs. Ali first, set up a time and sit down at a kitchen table with a cup of hot tea and maybe learn how to have a good marriage. Oh, this is good stuff. This is good. Titus chapter 2, elders should teach the younger. My mom and dad had a wonderful marriage for a lot of years. I think you ought to, I think some of you are crazy. You've never one time in this church, ladies, asked to go out to eat with my mom. I'm just telling you, not too bright. Okay? I'm telling you, if you're struggling a little bit, having a tough time, even if you're not, wouldn't you want it to be as good a wife as you could be? Okay? I meet with successful pastors, and I talk to them, and I call them, and I receive counsel from them because I always want to grow and be better. So why wouldn't I do that with men older than me? Why wouldn't you do that with wives and mothers that have been successful? Are you getting this? Okay, a wife should love her husband. Number 11, a wife should be obedient to her husband, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemy. Notice what's attached to that. Notice the warning here. A rebellious wife brings blasphemy to the word of God. Obedient to their own husbands. Obey your husbands. Well, I don't think this, okay, you don't may not think it, you may not understand it, you may not want to do it. Obey. Obey. Husbands, you're going to hear me come in on this and say, please, be sensible and reasonable. Okay, because God has given you through his word a lot of responsibility that comes with that. So please be godly and sensible. Don't be crazy. But at the same time, if your husband's asked you to do something or not do something, then do it if he's asked you to do it, and don't do it if he's asked you not to do it. Okay, number 12. A wife and husband should receive the blessings of this life together and thank God every day for the blessings of having someone to share life with. We'll end with this verse. We spoke about it. We ended with it last week. I love this verse. 1 Peter 3:7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Heirs together. If you're an heir, you receive an inheritance. You receive something that you can share. When a man takes a wife, a wife takes a husband, they become heirs together of this wonderful, precious thing called the grace of life. The grace of life. They get to share it together. They get to live it together. They get to enjoy it together. Receive the blessings of this life together. Thank God for having a husband whose life you can make better. And husbands, thank God for a wife that God's given you to share life with. Be thankful for it. And live your life enjoying that grace together. Can I tell on Levi and Christina? You just want a chuckle before you go home? You know, newlyweds are just... they're just a little too something, I don't know. But you really like seeing it. And so I taught and finished with this point last week, being heirs together of the grace of life. I go out of the building thinking everyone was gone, and Christine and Levi's out there, and they're taking some trash from the fellowship hall and taking it to the dumpster. And Levi's got one part of the bag, and she's got the other part of the bag, and I hear one of them say, "We are heirs together of the grace of life. We get to both work together to take this bag to the dumpster." They're just being goofy newlyweds, man. And then they see me and they quit, you know. There was something inside of me when I got in the car. I said, "God, please let him keep that. Just let him keep that." Every day of your life, Levi, include your wife, and you just enjoy life together and do everything you can together and share everything you can together and talk about everything you can together and just experience every day of the rest of your lives that way. And you say, "Preacher, that reminds me back when." Well, why don't we get back to back when a little bit? Come on, husbands. Come on, husbands. Take the leadership in this. You know, you were pretty goofy when you were courting her and dating her. It wouldn't hurt you to go back and find a little bit of that goofiness. A little. I don't want things to get weird around here, all right? Preacher, what's my wife want? She just wants to be a part of your life. And I don't know what my husband wants. He just wants you to be a part of his life. He just wants somebody to share the grace of life with. And if you've been given that, man, don't destroy it and don't throw it away. I hope this has been a help. Heavenly Father, please use these principles. Help us, Lord. Watch over us. Give us an obedient heart. Help us, Lord, to decide that we're going to build our marriages upon a rock. He that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a man who build his house upon a rock. Storms of life, Lord, are inevitable. Every young couple in this room is going to find out by the time life's over, there's more than enough heartache to go around. There's more than enough heartache to go around. And there's going to be the storms, and there's going to be the trials, and every life will be tested. Every marriage will be tested. Every family will be tested. May we build our marriages on the rock
of the Lord Jesus Christ, the rock of the Word of God, he that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. God, please help us not to be just hearers. Two Sunday nights back to back. I may never pick this material and teach it again for 5 years. I don't know. Maybe I ought to teach it every year. But there's a good chance it'll be laid aside for a while. Time period. Help us not to walk out of this place and forget. Help us to take the laminated sheets that the preacher, and with the help of his wife, put together and stick it in our Bible and use it as a bookmark and just do something because our pastor's asked us to do it and trust him a little bit and look at it from time to time and say, God, help me. Help me to be a good husband to my wife. May the prayer of a wife be God. I want to read some of these verses. Help me to be a good wife to my husband. And Lord, preserve and protect the marriages of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, Lord. We ask these things in Jesus' name.